All content discussed on Hypochondriac are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.
I'm Dr. Priyanka Wally, medical doctor and stand-up comedian.
And I'm Sean Hayes, actor and hypochondriac. It's safe to say that I'm not America's first hypochondriac, but I am America's first hypochondriactor. Hello, Priyanka.
Hey.
It's been a few weeks since our new year, but happy new year-ish many few weeks ago.
How's your year been going so far, although it's new?
Yeah, good. I couldn't wait to tell you. I had this little incident on New Year's Eve. I was at a friend's house. And I had to excuse myself because I leaned over to Scotty, my husband Scotty, and I said, I think we have to go to Cedars-Sinai emergency room.
Oh, it's no. Like,
can you guess why?
Was it another diverticulitis episode?
No.
Another kidney stone?
No. But sad that you know all this about me.
What else could it have been? Oh, was your AFib back up? Oh.
Yeah, but I want to tell you about an experience I had, which was fantastic. But wait, before I get to the story, I want to say how excited I am about our guest, Tony Goldwyn. Tony Goldwyn's on today. I love him so much. We work together. We'll talk all about that. But Tony Goldwyn's going to be on. He's going to share some stuff with us. But anyway, back to the story. So I went to the ER because I had AFib. And, you know, we talked about this ad nauseum on this podcast already.
Yeah.
So you feel like your heart's coming out of your chest. It's beating like 171 beats per minute.
Can I ask, you were socializing. It was a New Year's gathering.
Yep.
And all of a sudden your heart starts jumping out of your chest.
Right. Okay. So I was like, oh, crap. And I know the feeling now for 15 years it's been happening to me. I go to the freaking ER.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, Sean.
They all know you by first name.
Absolutely. And I go, I'm here to get my heart zapped. Right.
Oh.
And so, and they're all so nice there.
What were you feeling? Were you just like, this is business as usual?
Well, at this point, I'm just like, it's just a nuisance. It's just a pain in the ass. Because you never know what's going to happen. It happens like once a year, once every 2 years. And, you know, the worst time. It's never a good time. But, like, why can't it just happen like at 6 o'clock at night when you're just about to eat dinner or something?
Well, and then can we talk a little bit about that? So what do you think? Was it just the stimulation of the party? Or do you think were you drinking a lot?
I had been drinking a bit in the month of December.
Okay, got
I'll just say, been drinking a bit.
Old year.
Yeah. So, in that old year, yeah.
You're already like clean in the new year, but this is the residual from December.
That's
cute.
Right.
I like
that's
that.
Right. So yeah, I've been drinking. I'll just say it. I was drinking a lot. I was drinking too much, and which I don't usually do. I don't really ever drink, but you know. So
you get to Cedars, and then...
This has never happened to me. It's the craziest thing I've ever experienced in my life. And I've been put out before to get my heart zapped for AFib, many times. So I was like, just put me up for propofol. And the guy's like, I'm not going to give you propofol. I'm going to give you something else. I was like, what is it called? And it's called, I wrote it down for you. It's called etomidate. It's E-T-O-M-I-date.
Etomidate.
Etomidate. Like, it was very etomidating.
Yeah.
They were very etomidating.
Okay. So,
So this is how it went down. I'm sitting there on the bed and I have the IV in and I go, are you going to do it? Are you going to give me that stuff now? And he goes, yeah. I go, I'm real sensitive to drugs. So just so you know, he's like, okay. So he puts it in and my body starts shaking, right?
Oh,
it's that kind of same reaction I have to, it's an allergic reaction I have to Compazine and Tigan and all these anti-nausea medications.
Yeah, it's called myoclonus,
Myoclonus. What, the reaction or the drug?
No, the shaking.
So I have that, right? And so I'm shaking.
Wow.
And I go, oh my God, this stuff works so fast. Like it just goes like-
It's ultra short acting,
So I was like, wow, everything was going dark and I could feel it coming on. And he's like, just try to relax. I was like, okay.
Which, by the way, is an oxymoron.
Yeah, try to relax. So it's just try to relax. And I was like, okay. And then the nurse goes, what did you think? And I go, about what? And he goes, did you feel it? I go, what are you talking about? And he goes, the procedure.
Wow.
I go, wait a minute. What the fuck are you talking about right now? And he goes, the procedure. I go, what? How long was I out?
Wow.
He goes, 20 minutes. I go, wait a minute. The last thing you just said.
Wow.
You just said, try to relax. And then you just said, did you feel it? I mean, what is that phenomenon? It is Unbelievable. I've never experienced that before.
Yeah. So Etomidate, it's a ultra short acting general anesthetic and it acts super fast. And I guess the reason they choose it is because it minimally affects the heart. You know, a lot of anesthetics can actually increase your heart rate or predispose you to AFib. And so it's one of the ones that they would prefer when doing a cardiac procedure. And so you don't remember anything. You didn't even have like a dream or anything. Like
nothing.
That's wild.
I was looking at my feet shaking and I woke up with my feet shaking.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my God. Okay. That's like, I don't know. That's
trippy.
Kind of scary that, you just left and then you were back.
I know.
I mean,
it's insane. So wait, what about the shaking? What about my shaking?
Yeah. One of the side effects is myoclonus, which is shaking. It acts on the central nervous system, but shaking can also be considered like a somatic release. Like when your animals do this in the wild, you'll see this on National Geographic. When a tiger tries to eat a zebra and the zebra runs away, the zebra will begin shaking. And that's the way it just had a near-death experience. And that's its way of discharging that energy that's pent up. It's called a somatic release. I'm not saying that's what happened. I mean, you had a clear side effect of a medication.
Right.
But sometimes in certain situations, this can even happen in meditation where your body can just start shaking. All that is a somatic release.
Wow. But it's not dangerous, my thing, right?
Okay. So the way to answer this is that obviously, you want to avoid using medications that cause side effects. For example, there are like those anti-nausea medications.
Yeah.
They can cause permanent issues with dyskinesia or difficulty with movements. But
what?
You were dealing with a short acting IV medication. It was just 20 minutes and it takes about a minute to take effect. And then it peaks in 7 minutes. Between 2 and 3 hours, that's like the half-life elimination. So it's like out of your system. So there's a very short acting effect. You are very clearly sensitive to these things. This is not something that,
Good God. Good God. Anyway.
Wow. Okay. So wait, did you not text me that this happened because you knew we were going to talk about it in the show? I was like, wait, why is he not sharing this with me?
I know. I was in the hospital and I was going to text her. I was like, just talk to her about it on the show.
That's wild. Okay. Yeah. So can I ask, when you left the party, what did you tell the people there? Were you like, I gotta go? And they were like, but the ball's about to drop.
Yeah, I know. I called my friend over and I was like, I have to go. And he's like, why? And I go, because I have this thing. And I don't want to make a big deal out of it because I don't want everybody, I don't want to ruin the party. So I'm just going to sneak out. And of course, it just became worse because I left and then people were texting because they're so sweet and they care. And I'm blessed that they do care. But in retrospect, I should have just fucking announced it at the party. This is what I have. It's not that big a deal. I mean, sometimes it can be a big deal, but it's not that big a deal. I've dealt with it before. Everything's going to be fine, blah, 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 blah. I should have just said that.
Well, what's coming up for me listening to this is that what would it have felt like for you to have that much attention?
Yeah. I would have hated it.
About this issue.
Well, I would have hated it because I have this thing. I talked to my therapist about this. I have this thing. I don't want it to ever be about me. I didn't want to make the evening about me, about this, about this thing, right? I didn't want to ruin the party.
Mm, because you're assuming that you bringing up your medical attention.
Well, and I'm leaving in such a dramatic way. I'm like, I got to go to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
I didn't want people to be like, what? And so
I should say, I don't have AFib, but I can empathize with this idea of having a medical condition that would then sweep up a lot of attention and concern.
Yeah, because it has to do with your heart.
The sort of shame associated with it, like with my nut allergies, it's a big deal, right? When it's like, oh my God, she had nuts, like attention, everyone.
Right, right.
We got to land the plane or whatever, and I get how that can be sort of embarrassing in a way.
Right,
and it's taken a lot of work to be like, no, I'm taking up space. Like, this is just the way my body is. And I'm okay. Thank you for your concern.
Yes.
And, there is a lot of sort of energy and grace that requires that. So the fact that you had to deal with that on New Year's Eve, which is this classic party, I mean, it's a lot to hold. But I'm so glad that you're feeling better now, I'm assuming.
Oh, my God, 100%. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you sleep like a baby that night, which is so
nice. Did you really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I loved it.
So what do you think? Are you going to like take it easy on the alcohol now after that?
Yeah, I think I have to. This is definitely a trend with me. It's like, oh, I've been fine for a year or 2 years. I can drink. And then I drink and this happens.
Interesting.
Yeah. So okay. I need to cool it. But what a story.
Thank you for sharing that. To be continued. All right.
Okay, so but before we get to our guest, hey, let's listen to a couple voice messages. The first one is from someone named Sarah.
Okay.
Hi, Sean and Dr. Wally. My name is Sarah, and I'm from Pennsylvania. I love the show, and Sean, I've been a Will and Grace fan forever, and I just think you're incredible. And Dr.
So nice.
Wally, I'm a huge fan of you now, too. So I was born blind in my left eye due to toxoplasmosis gondii that I experienced in utero. It left me with a parasitic scar on my eye. And I've lived a pretty normal life. I'm a terrible driver, but other than that, no big deal. Until I was pregnant with my daughter. And in my second trimester, I developed an infected cyst in my good eye.
Oh my God.
And it blew up like Rocky after a fight. So for several weeks, I was almost legally blind in both eyes. My doctors could not figure out why the cyst wouldn't go away, and they were actually prepared to surgically remove it. And then almost to the day of entering my third trimester, it went away on its own.
Oh, wow.
Which makes me think it was hormonal, but we never figured it out. I like to tell my daughter, who's almost three now, that I was blind with love for her.
Oh.
Anyway, thanks for the fantastic podcast. Bye, guys.
Oh, that's so nice.
Oh, wow, Sarah. What an incredible story. I'm so glad that the cyst went away and you can see. So, Sean, she's talking about this parasitic infection called toxoplasmosis gondii.
So that's a parasite. That's what I got from what you just said.
It affects warm-blooded animals.
Everything you just said, I'm like, I zeroed in on parasite.
It can basically cause blindness. These parasites, man, I'm telling you. You know, nowadays we do a lot of screening for newborns for infections. Toxoplasmosis is one of them and lots of other infections, but yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, you always hear about parasites and like kids picking up parasites in like streams or rivers or just, you know, creeks or whatever. This is a whole other podcast, but that's, you know, the water issue is going to be a big issue in the next, you know, 50 years, I think, in this country and the world. Clean water. It's just going to be hard. But anyway.
Did you just watch Silent Sea? Is that what you're saying?
No, what's that?
It's this series on Netflix. It's a Korean series. It's like top 10 right now. And it's about the future when there's not going to be any water. And they're like trying to get water from the moon, lunar water. And
wait, it's a scripted or just like a docu-series?
Oh, no. It's a scripted show.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I'll skip it. But anyway, it sounds amazing.
Sarah, you know what? I just want to say, first of all, you got a lot of stuff to deal with, right? Because you got toxo first.
And then she got a cyst.
Knocked out one eye. And then you had a cyst in the second eye. And
that's
like,
crazy. That's hormonal. You know, what, somebody can just get a cyst and then it goes away?
I mean, all I know is that I don't see eye to eye with
Sarah,
issues.
I'm sorry, Sarah.
No, but my heart really does go out to you. And I'm grateful you got your vision back.
Yeah. Well, I love you, Sarah. And thank you for sharing your story. Let's go to the next call. This is one from someone named Amanda.
Hi, Sean and Dr. Wally. My name is Amanda from New Jersey. I just wanted to thank you so much for your episode with Emily Hampshire on misophonia. Listening to that episode, I had never been able to put a name to the thing that I have dealt with for 30 years of my life.
Yeah.
I always just thought that I was weird because sniffing would make me so, so very angry and just very, very uncomfortable. You know, through much of my young childhood and adult life, I've learned to deal with it, to, you know, use cognitive behavioral therapy and meditation. And I've really come to a place where I can live with it. But hearing Emily share her story and hearing someone else who knew and understood what I have experienced really just made such a difference. As a medical professional myself, as an occupational therapist, I am just constantly amazed at the mind-body connection. And I really enjoy your podcast. Thank you so much for the work you do. And I'll keep listening. Thanks. Bye.
That's so nice.
Oh, wow.
Amanda, yeah. So many people have like said, I think I have it, right?
Yeah, I got a few messages about that as well. Yeah.
And you don't know if like people are just being like, I just don't like to hear people chew. Isn't that like the sounds when sounds make you angry or something?
Yeah, so just to recap, misophonia is where people suffer from intense anger or disgust when they're confronted with specific sounds like loud chewing or breathing or slurping a soup and they'll...
And then you say, me so angry.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. And you know what? I loved what was shared about using cognitive behavioral therapy to address this. Again, when it comes to phobias or phonias or any kind of issue
fear-based
or emotionally disturbing memories, there are different treatments out there. Cognitive behavioral therapy is one of them. There was actually a small study looking at EMDR. Have you ever done EMDR, Sean? Do you know what that is?
I've heard of it. What is EMDR?
Yeah, it stands for, it's really, really helpful for certain things like PTSD or even some OCD type behavior. It's called eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, EMDR.
It's
basically trauma focused. I've actually done it. It's really effective. I found it to be really effective. But there was a teeny, teeny study that they looked at EMDR for misophonia related memories. There were only like 10 people in the study, and they found that using EMDR was helpful for reducing the disturbance.
So EMDR is what? Like, I don't understand.
Okay. So basically what it does is it's an eye movement desensitization. So when I did EMDR, I'll talk about my experience. So you go back to a memory that was traumatic for you.
Oh, so it's like therapy.
But it's involving eye movement.
Oh, crazy.
I'll try my best to explain it. But like you basically, when you think of a memory, your eyes actually move to a certain part of your visual field, and it's activating the part of the brain that's activating the memory.
That's crazy. I've never heard that.
Yeah. And so when you think about the memory, the therapist that's doing the EMDR will actually ask you to move your eyes in a different direction, and that literally reprocesses the wires in your brain.
Wow.
To then rethink of the memory from a different perspective.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, so there have been memories that I've worked with that, you know, I was really affected by, and thanks to EMDR, I was able to actually see it from a different perspective and release myself from kind of the trauma of the memory.
Right. So like if you had one memory of a child getting hurt as a childhood, maybe you'd look to the left. If you had another memory of something else, you'd look to the right. But if you had a memory of meeting me the first time, your eyes would probably roll in the back of your head. Is that right?
Yeah. So there's another technique called brain spotting, which is like EMDR, but it's even more focused on just the eye movement.
Yeah.
And you can find a brain spotting specialist. I found it to be very effective.
Well, yeah. let me tell you something. I don't know if it's living with somebody, but you know, sometimes when I'm sitting next to Scotty and he's eating cereal or he's eating dinner, or I guess it could be anybody, it really gets under my skin. Is that misophonia?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're finding yourself getting angry, irritated, disgusted, like you want to leave the room.
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds like misophonia.
Yeah. What do you do for it?
Well, I mean, I would be curious. Wouldn't that be interesting if we put you in an EMDR session for... That's actually a great starter EMDR because it's not
nauseous.
Super triggering. It's like mildly triggering. It's enough for you to like be with it.
It makes me nauseous just the thought of moving my eyes around like that.
Oh, wow.
Like
okay.
I'm on a roller coaster or something.
Can I just share though? So, you know, I told you about my trypophobia, my fear of small clusters of holes. Do you remember that?
Which I don't mean to make light of it.
It's bizarre. No, it's totally weird. I get it. Yeah. So I had trypophobia and I did one brain spotting session and I can look at clusters of holes now.
And now you can pick up a sponge.
Yeah. I'm eating English muffins like all day now.
Wait, really? You've overcome it?
Yeah. No, it was one brain spotting session.
That's amazing.
Yeah. No, it was crazy.
Amanda, thank you for sharing. I love that. It's so rewarding to us in all sincerity when we can actually help and people without knowing it. So thank you for sharing your story. It means a lot. Our phone line is still open. Leave us a message at 323-529-6031. Again, 323-529-6031. We would love, love, love to hear from you. We are supported by Athletic Greens. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, and probiotics to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and guess what? Aging. I started taking Athletic Greens because, you know, I don't have time in the morning. I'm super busy. I'm go, go, go all the time. It optimizes my immune system. And I hated taking like 27 pills and vitamins and stuff. And this is so easy. It's delicious and I love it. AG1 is a small micro habit with big benefits. It's one thing you can do every single day to take great care of yourself. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, chemicals, or anything artificial while still tasting great. Costs you less than $3 a day. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into the flu and cold season. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/hypo. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/hypo to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. We are supported by Just Egg. Just Egg is cooking the best omelets you'll ever have all year, all while changing the world, one egg at a time. Just Egg is a cholesterol-free, plant-based egg that will give you the most decadent quiches of your life, the fluffiest scrambles, and the easiest egg sandwiches of all time. It has about the same protein as a chicken egg and less saturated fat. I tried out Just Egg last year, and it's amazing how good these plant-based scrambles are. I put it in the microwave, and I wrapped it in a paper towel, and it tastes exactly like an egg. It's crazy how simple Just Egg is to make and how... you know, good I feel about doing better for my body and the planet all at the same time. Plus, Just Egg is packed with cholesterol-lowering polyunsaturated fat. Oh, and Just Egg comes from plants. You're also helping to save our planet. So that's nice if you're into the whole saving the environment thing. Happy New Year, everyone. May it be filled with Just Egg. Just Egg. Really good eggs. Our guest today has played many roles on stage and screen, including the President of the United States. I wish he was the President of the United States. A microbiologist, an astronaut, me too. My boss on stage for a year on Broadway, and plenty of villains. But he's not a villain in real life. He's also a director, an incredible director, producer, and political activist. Please welcome my friend, who I love very, very, very much, Tony Coldwin.
Tony.
Hey, Sean.
Hi, this is Dr. Priyanka Wally.
Priyanka, Dr. Wally, how do we address you?
You can call me Priyanka.
Okay, Priyanka, thank you.
It's good to see you, Sean.
You too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you're not handsome. Jesus, God. Look how good looking he is. Tony, thank you for coming on. We've known each other for a long time. We did a show on Broadway for a year together. You were so wonderful. I had such a great time working with you in a show called Promises, Promises. He played my boss, Mr. Sheldrake. I love hearing nightmare theater stories before we get to the medical stuff. I love hearing nightmare theater stories. One of my nightmare stories, it wasn't horrible, but two really quick stories that I had with Tony Goldwyn on stage. One was a woman in the audience had drank too much. It was a Saturday night show. I don't know if you were on stage yet during the performance. She threw up so hard in her chair. She was escorted out into the lobby. She came back and then threw up again.
Oh, no.
I don't even remember this.
Oh, you don't?
I'm getting old, Sean. Crazy. When did that happen?
I don't know. It happened like midway through the run. But the other one, this is really funny. You know, you sometimes forget your lines because you go on autopilot because you're doing 8 shows a week for a year. Yeah. And in a scene, Tony's frozen. Right? We do a scene and then the light changes and he freezes. And I turn to the audience and I talk to the audience. And when I turn to the audience, I completely forgot what I was going to say. Mm. I turn to Tony, who's supposed to be frozen and not speak. And I go, what is my line? What do I say here? And out of the side of his mouth, he's like, I don't remember. Like, he just gave me like two words. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. And then I went right back into it. It was so funny.
But wait, didn't the audience they completely realized that we'd messed up? And got
absolutely.
Each other?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They thought it was absolutely hilarious.
Do you have any nightmare, anything that happened? Tripping over the set, coming in late?
Too many to remember. My God, I don't know that I had any real nightmares on Promises, Promise. Oh, of course I do. Here's a good one. All right, so I think right before we started the show, the year before we started the show, I had had to have a root canal and a crown put on. Like, it was the first time I'd had like a serious dental issue. Yeah. So I had this sort of like in the toward the back middle of my mouth here, the, you know, a cap or a crown or whatever you call it, fake, a false tooth, waiting to have like permanent surgery done, to have a permanent one put in. Because you have to wait like 9 months when you do something like that. So we're on stage and I think I was singing a number and I feel something in my mouth as I'm singing.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, what is that? And it's a tooth rolling around in my mouth and I'm singing in front of a thousand
that
people.
Is, what did you do?
And
you
when the song ended,
mouth?
I'm like, oh my God, I like shove it up in my cheek. And at some point during the scene, it was probably with you, I don't remember what scene it was, I like turned away and sort of spit it into my hand and put it in my pocket.
Oh,
and I
wow.
came out, yeah. So I had to go to the dentist immediately and get it.
That is, I
almost
didn't know
swallowed
that.
It too. Yeah,
that is
yeah.
you're so lucky that you didn't swallow it while
right?
you were singing, or yeah. of course, even choke on it.
Exactly, yeah. exactly.
Because
yeah, that was funny.
He would choke on my performance every single night. this horrible.
Sean, it's so hilarious. We had fun. That was such.
Oh
a
Oh my
fun
God,
show.
That was so fun. It was so yeah. fun. I felt blessed and honored to do that with you every night.
I know, but I'll never. I always think of. Toward the end of the run, you were so exhausted because Sean was literally in every moment practically of the show. And you had something like 1,000 songs to sing or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And you, in the final scene with Kristen, you would lean over and go, hardest thing I've ever done, never doing it again or something.
Yeah. I said,
hardest fucking thing I've ever done, never doing it again.
Yeah. Aww. And I said to both of you, I said, I'm going to take my final bow with my luggage back to LA. I'm going to come out for my bow holding my suitcases.
That's hilarious.
Now, Tone, you're so great at everything you do. You know, obviously Scandal was such a huge, huge hit. And I know you've done tons of other things. But what do you have coming up that's exciting that you can talk about?
Well, what's out right now, if you haven't seen it, go see King Richard, which is
a really fantastic,
wonderful
okay.
film
yes.
With Will Smith. And it's about Venus and Serena Williams as children.
Nice.
And their father, Richard Williams, and how they got into tennis. And it's really yeah. about their dad, Richard, who was this really eccentric, extreme, brilliant man. And then it's a family story about, you know, these young girls who
wow.
became, you know, like Richard Williams had this vision before they were born that he was going to have two girls and they were going to become the two greatest tennis players in the world.
Wow.
And he really knew nothing about tennis. And he wrote like a 75-page manifesto before they were born. I knew none of this.
Yeah.
And then they had two kids and he like did it.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a wonderful, and I play their first professional coach because at a certain point he couldn't really take him so far. He didn't know how to play tennis. So yeah, but it's a beautiful movie. So in that, and then, another thing that just came out that's streaming on Hulu now, it came out last month, the Hot Zone Anthrax, which
yeah,
is a series on National Geographic.
You shot during,
shot during the pandemic. Yeah, and it follows the anthrax investigation in 2001.
Wow.
If you remember those letters that were sent out to Congress and all the media outlets, some people died. Well, it was right 3 weeks after 9/11. And so I play this microbiologist who was the lead anthrax researcher for the U.S. government. And it turned out he became a prime suspect and he suffered from very severe mental illness. And so it's a really interesting character.
Wow.
So that's out there too.
So it's a limited series. It's not like, I can't wait for second season.
It's no, it's like, 6 hours. It's a 6 hour, you know,
limited thing. Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
So that's you really must have learned a thing or two about anthrax working on that, huh?
I did because I knew nothing. I knew nothing about it.
You probably know more about anthrax than I do. Working on that.
That could be another podcast.
Is anthrax solely to cause harm, or do they use it for something else?
No, anthrax is a naturally Bianca can correct me, but it's a naturally occurring bacteria in cows and in fields and agriculture. You find anthrax all the time, but it is in fact deadly if you inhale it. You can get, you know, cutaneous anthrax in your skin and it can give you a terrible, you know, infection, but you generally won't die from that.
Uh-huh.
But it was weaponized by Saddam Hussein when he,
right.
you know, used
right.
it to expose it to his own people. And we were very worried that it would become a biological weapon
right.
After the Gulf War. And then this guy, my character, he, you know, developed this anthrax vaccine. Mm-hmm. And apparently weaponized it himself in his own lab. And they traced the strains of anthrax back to his lab. So it's a
crazy.
It's a bioweapon. Like the Russians had developed it also. And
I'm not worried about anything penetrating this porcelain skin.
Oh. Wow. There we go, people. Bacillus anthracis right there.
Wait, last thing I want to bring up, Tone, mm-hmm. before we get to the good medical stuff, because I know you're probably like, Sean does a medical podcast? Because I'm obsessed with medicine. I'm obsessed.
So, no, I know. By the way, I've been listening. It's so fun. It's so good. It's so good, interesting. Honey.
Thank you. I will always find it fascinating till the day I die. And Priyanka probably doesn't realize this. You are Tony Goldwyn of MGM, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that, Priyanka?
No, I did not know that.
I mean, I never really talked to you about it.
Really?
I just think that is, what was that like growing up knowing that that G in MGM is your lineage?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe we never talked about it. You know, it's not exactly correct that it's, like, here's what it was my grandfather, my dad's father was Samuel Goldwyn, who was one of the really the pioneers of the film industry. You know, actually, he started in 1908, or he made his first feature film in 1912, I think, or 1914. So he was there from the beginning up until he retired. His last one was 1959. So he became he started the company that ultimately became MGM. It was called the Goldwyn Company. He had started the company that became Paramount. He started the company that he started United Artists with Charlie Chaplin and Mary Pickford. And then he became really one of the first great independent producers. So he had his own studio and made a lot of classic movies. But the MGM portion was really in their very early days. And then it was taken over and Louis B. Mayer ended up running it.
Yeah, right.
And they were like enemies. It's all great Hollywood stories.
Were you close to him?
Yeah, I was very close. I mean, he was very old when I was born. He was like 80 when I was born. But we were very, very close. And but I knew him as my grandpa. You know, like, it was cool, you know, asking about how what it was like. I can tell you that I didn't know. My parents really kept us away from Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
They thought didn't want us to be Hollywood brats. And
too late.
But yeah, too late. But we would go to my grandparents' house every weekend, and they lived literally like in another era. It was old Hollywood. They were very formal. Oh, wow. It was really cool for us because we like my parents were obsessed with us being normal. But then we go to grandma and grandpa's, and it was a trip. It was like Oz in a way. It was really cool. They were great people.
That's so
cool.
Wait,
so what about like the MGM Hotel in Vegas? Can you just stay there anytime you want, like all the time?
No. No, I get no perks whatsoever because, you know, my grandfather was ousted from the company in like 1918, I think. Yeah.
So they kick you out if you show up at the MGM, actually.
Exactly, yeah.
So let's get to it. This is really interesting. I want to talk about, and please, Priyanka, tell me what the pronunciation, your daughter's tonsillectomy. That's what it's called.
Tonsillectomy, yeah. The surgical removal of tonsils.
And she was 18 months old?
18 months. This is way young.
When my daughter, Anna, who was our first daughter, who's now 31 years old, so everything turned out okay. You know, Priyanka, I don't know if you have kids, but, you know, there's this method of, Anna was a terrible sleeper as a baby. I mean, like, literally, we could not get her to sleep. She's a very dynamic person, and she was as a little kid. And, you know, it was the kind of thing where we'd have to walk her around the block. She would not go to sleep.
Okay.
Drive her in the car. I'd have to lay at her side in her crib and hold her hand. And if I left for 1 second, she'd wake up screaming.
Yeah.
So there's this thing called the Ferber method of sleep, a book called Your Child's Sleep Problem or something like that. And it's at the time, 30 years ago, it was the, you know, the go-to thing of torturing your children to sleep.
Okay.
And the concept is, you are supposed to let them cry. Do not intervene.
The cry it out method.
You shut them in the room. They start to cry and you go 5 minutes the first night and you let them ball their heads up. Then you go in and comfort them and say, it's going to be okay. You leave again and let them cry for 5 minutes. And if that takes all night long, you just keep doing that. The next night it's 10 minutes. And supposedly you increase it by 5 minutes a night. And at the end of a week, they're supposed to be good to go.
I'm not making light, but it's very similar to, because I love dogs. It's when you get a puppy, you kind of do exactly the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was so traumatized by this, I did not try it on any of my dogs.
Yeah, I mean, I do not agree with the cry it out method
at all.
I have an 18-month-old nephew. I forgot to say that. Yeah, so I get the sleep problem stuff. Yeah.
So here was the thing. So Jane and I decided to do this, and it was horrible. You know, Anna was like projectile vomiting, standing, screaming. We're weeping outside her door.
I can't imagine.
Through it once. And after about 5 minutes, it did work after like 5 days. Then a week later, she was screaming again. And we were just like, this is terrible. And we just felt like real, I don't know, any young parents listening, you know, when somebody, you feel like a terrible parent, you just feel like, we're failures.
You're
my
like
child
praying.
Will never sleep.
You're like asking God for mercy on
it's
your
awful.
Soul for the pain that you've caused this poor thing.
So cut to, I can't remember, we just kind of put her in our bed. We just felt like we couldn't get it to go. Anyway, It was wintertime, as I recall. And, you know, one night, not long after that, she was crying again, and mm-hmm. she, you know, fell back to sleep. We were feeling we should make her cry. And I just decided to go up and check on her.
Oh, my God.
And I went up because we didn't hear anything. I was like, I'm just going to go up and check on her. And I'm standing over her crib, and she's sleeping. And I noticed that she's not making any noise, and I realize she's not breathing.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh my God.
And all of a sudden, I'm going, is she breathing? And I lean over to hear if she's breathing. And all of a sudden, she chokes herself awake.
Oh, my gosh.
After about 10 seconds and starts screaming, right?
Oh, my gosh.
So I put her, you know, calm her down, and she goes back to sleep, and I would not leave her room. She stops breathing again and then chokes herself awake and starts screaming. So I panic, and
so we
call our pediatrician, and he says, bring her in, you know, tomorrow morning. And here's what it was. She had a stuffy nose, right? Mm-hmm. And so she wasn't breathing. So we bring her into the pediatrician. He says, Anna has tonsils the size of an adult.
Wow.
So the reason she's had so much, she has sleep apnea. So the reason she's having so much trouble sleeping is because when she relaxes, if she has any obstruction in her nasal air passages, she can't breathe. And so her throat gets filled up, and the reason she's crying so much is because she can't breathe.
Yes. And I just want to say, for the record, sleep apnea is one of the most common reason in children that is the side effect of enlarged tonsils or enlarged adenoids. And there can be long-term consequences to this.
Yeah. So we were like, oh my God, thank God we didn't keep torturing her, you know, like,
oh my God.
That, he said, that's why she was not able to sleep and was terrified of sleeping. She had a, you know, it was a panic kind of response.
Wow.
So, you know, we brought her into the hospital, like the next couple of days, and she got her tonsils out, and, you know, she was very unhappy. She had a sore throat. It's like, what did you do to me? And having an 18 month old in surgery was pretty scary.
Gosh.
And you said, don't talk back to me. I'll put them back in your throat.
That's right. You don't want these again?
But wait a minute. How long did that screaming and all of that non-sleeping happen? Like, how long was that for?
You mean before or after?
Yeah, I mean, like when did it start?
Oh, always.
Oh, so it was from birth till removal.
From birth to 18 months.
So she was born with enlarged tonsils, basically.
I guess so. I seem to remember, you know, I can't remember when she was a tiny infant, you know, but she would never sleep. So never sleep. So we'd bring her into our bed and then Jane would nurse her or whatever it was. And then she stopped nursing after a year. So then she was in her own crib. And, you know, you get into that thing of like, I'm supposed to force my child. So needless to say, with our second kid, with Tess, we just, as soon as she cried, we put her in our bed. And then when she was, you know, 16, she got out of our bed and went into her own bed.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
We're supported by Indeed. You're successful in business because you love doing the research, whether it's the state of the market or the next right hire. But when you're low on hours and you still want to do a great job on hiring, who do you go for help? It's time for Indeed. One of the things that I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place super easy. And it's used by more than 3 million businesses worldwide to hire great talent super fast. Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applications that meet your must-have requirements, or else you don't pay. So instead of spending hours on multiple job sites hoping to find candidates with the right skills, you just need one powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. Find great talent through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you get a short list of quality candidates with resumes on Indeed that match your job description, and you can invite them to apply right away. Plus, you only pay for quality applications that meet your must-have requirements. Start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job posts at Indeed.com/actor. Offer valid through March 31st. Go to Indeed.com/actor to claim your $75 credit before March 31st. Indeed.com/actor. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We're supported by Green Chef. Green Chef is a CCOF certified meal kit company. Green Chef makes eating well super easy with plans to fit every lifestyle. Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences. I really like Green Chef. I actually gift it to my family, my brother and his wife. They're very busy. They're working all the time. So I think it's a really awesome gift. Enjoy your greens while being green. Green Chef is the most sustainable meal kit, offsetting 100% of their plastic packaging in every box and 100% of their carbon footprint and emissions. Green Chef's pre-portioned ingredients means you'll actually reduce your food waste by at least 25% compared to grocery shopping. Green Chef makes cooking easy so you can spend less time stressing and more time enjoying delicious home-cooked meals. Green Chef has wonderful recipes that are sure to satisfy. And Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh, and with a wider array of meal plans to choose from, there's something for everyone. I love switching between the brands, and now our listeners can enjoy both brands at a discount with us. Go to greenchef.com/hypo130 and use code hypo130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. That's greenchef.com/hypo130 and use code hypo130 for $130 off plus free shipping. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. And this is why I believe the cry it out method does not work, because I fundamentally believe that when babies cry, there's a reason for it. They're not just doing it because they have nothing else to do.
Right.
There's some kind of need that isn't being met, or it's something that they need. And, you know, she clearly couldn't breathe, you know, so.
Let me ask you this. When you're an adult and you cry for no reason, what is that about?
Then that's still because of something that happened in the past that's still unresolved.
It has to do with the past.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, okay, great, got it. This is fascinating. So when she got it out, did she sleep like a baby, literally, right away?
Can't remember. But honestly, Sean, I think that she slept with us. I seem to remember that we never had a problem again, except that she honestly got so big that the reason she went back into her own bed, because there wasn't enough room for her. But I just remember being like, for a few years, you know, with this, she's already a large child, that she would turn sideways in the bed between Jane and me, always with her feet towards me, and then in the middle of her sleep, bend her one leg and then kick me hard in the ribs.
Oh my God.
And I'd be like in the middle of dead sleep. Oh, so I'd fall out of the bed and go get into her bed. And that was sort of how we existed.
That's called a hypnagogic jerk, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Look at her go.
Kicking people
she knows
in
everything.
Her sleep. So tonsils can be enlarged for a bunch of different reasons.
Yeah, I want to know. And I want to know the effects.
So tonsils are considered to be secondary immune system organs. So they act as sites where immune cells interact with foreign antigens, whether it's viruses or bacteria or parasites or whatever, even cigarette smoke or something. So did the ENT that did the surgery, did they look at the tonsils? Did they give you any idea of why the heck they were so large at such a young age?
No. He didn't. It was just, it was like, that's it. And it shouldn't be any problem. And if they grow back, let us know. I mean, like I had my tonsils out as a kid. Okay. And I dabbed them out twice because they grew back.
Wait a minute. So, wow. Wait a minute.
That's some pretty aggressive tonsils.
Tonsil genes.
Yeah.
There's just like tonsils growing in your walls of your house.
They're just like bench pressing in there.
I've got some of this weird growth. Maybe, Priyanka, you could, if I show you already,
yeah,
these
we'll do
weird
a,
things
a
that are growing
chat.
Out of my ribs.
Like Little Shop of Horrors. All right,
it's a tonsil.
Wait a minute. Tonsils can grow back? I've never, ever heard that. I thought you get them out and it's gone.
Well, it depends on how much is actually taken out. Again, I am not an ENT surgeon.
I'm just
a general practitioner. Yeah. But, you know, the tonsils enlarge when the immune cells are interacting with something. So if there's still some immune cells there left and there's some kind of foreign antigen, the immune cells will continue to multiply. The thing about your story that's so fascinating is that they usually do not remove tonsils in children less than 3 years of age.
Right.
So this is technically considered a high-risk surgery because of how young.
Yeah, they didn't tell us that part.
Yeah. But you know, obviously there was a clear indication. I mean, she wasn't breathing.
Yeah.
You know, obstructive sleep apnea in children that young of an age, it can lead to brain development problems.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, that's the first thing I went to is like, that's so dangerous when you stop breathing.
Absolutely.
Like that. God, you must have been so scared. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
You know, another interesting thing, if you don't mind me throwing it in.
Please.
What I realized having a child in there is about being one's own advocate or the advocate
Absolutely.
In a hospital. So here's what happened. It was time to bring in a surgery, and we were obviously really freaked out at having a child who couldn't speak.
Of
going into surgery, right? So we couldn't explain to her what was happening. She didn't know why all these people were around her, why they were putting things in her face. Yeah. So we intended to go into the operating room. And I think we even asked our ENT, said, look, we at least one of us needs to be with her until she goes under. And he was like, yeah, of course. So we get to the ER and there was another child in front of us. And they said to the mother, and this poor kid was a little girl who had had something like 24 surgeries. She had, there was some, I can't remember what had happened, but she had a condition and the nurse would not let the mother into the operating room. Mm-hmm. And the mother was like, oh, okay. And she sort of backed off and they took the child away screaming. And I was like, what's up with that?
Yeah, that's
and they
crazy.
Came to take Anna away and they said, you can't come in. I said, no, I'm going in.
Yeah, for sure.
And she said, you can't. And she started like literally getting really aggressive with me. And I said, our doctor told me, she said, I don't care who your doctor is. You are not coming in this room. And I said, well, my daughter, I get into a thing with her. I wasn't going to, and the other woman had just backed right off and her daughter was freaking out. And by chance, our surgeon was walking in the hallway and I kind of pushed past her and I said, could you come here a second? And, you told me I could come in with Anna. And he said, yeah, of course you can come in. Come on in. And the nurse sort of went red faced and stood out of the way. Ooh. But I thought, God, if I had just, I respect authority, or I tend to often be like, oh, okay, well, those are the rules. I'll play by the rules.
Right.
In this case, since it was my kid, I was not about to do that.
Yeah.
But I really realized how so common where people who are not their own advocates or advocates for their loved ones and willing to really like go, wait a minute, is that correct? What's happening?
Right.
I don't know how you feel about it, Priyanka.
Thank you for sharing that. And I can understand how frustrating that situation must have been. One of the things that is important to remember in operating rooms is that there's actually something called a sterile field, and everyone has to be draped appropriately in order to even enter that field to prevent the chance of intraoperative infection. So what I'm assuming that was that this nurse genuinely, I mean, assuming people have the best of intentions, she was probably doing her best to protect sterile field and then getting the surgeons. It was like actually a huge exception that you were able to do that.
Yeah, that's
and you're
really
fortunate.
Cool.
But I can understand that your point about needing to advocate for your own rights is
for
critical
sure.
and crucial.
If I was in an operating room, if I got the opportunity, I'd be like in the background just because I'm so klutzy, just dropping things and while they're trying to operate. And I'd be like, I'm not even here. I'm ignore me. Not even here. Just keep going.
You
just
know who I'd be, Sean? I would be like the lady in the audience who promises, vomiting in the corner. If I had to watch a surgery.
Some hospitals actually have, in the old days, it was an operating room theater where you would have a little space where people could sit and watch. And, you know, there's a window and stuff. So some hospitals have that. It unfortunately wasn't this hospital.
I directed one of the very first Grey's Anatomies. And,
oh, really?
I think it was like the second or third episode of it. And one of the scenes that I was doing was a multiple organ transplant.
Uh-huh.
And our medical advisor says, you know, if you want to come and watch a heart surgery, I can, you know, let you into the operating theater and you can see an open heart surgery. It's like, I'll watch the YouTube video.
I'll watch ER.
Yeah. So, I think I saw that episode. Yeah.
That's crazy. Tony, thank you for sharing. You know, I don't know if you have any kind of crazy medical ER story yourself that's happened to you, but I have 70,000 of them.
So, no, I don't. I haven't had any horrible. I got hit by a car when I was 15 on a skateboard.
Damn.
And broke my leg in several places.
What, just walking across the street?
No, skateboarding down a hill like an idiot.
Oh, wow.
And a car came around and hit me.
And you broke your leg?
And I broke my leg in about five places and they had to, they thought I might not walk again. That was sort of a traumatic, but no, the operating room that was good news because everything went well. But I don't have any scary stuff. Do you have a million operating room ones? Let's hear one.
Oh my God, I have so many.
I mean, it's like episodes 1 through 20 of the show is like.
Yeah.
All right, I'll listen.
Can I go back to the car accident thing? Did you end up getting back on the skateboard or was that the end of skateboarding for you?
Not only did I get back on the skateboard, I did it with a cast up to my hip.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was his metaphorical horse.
Yeah, so, I pretty much gave up skateboarding. I was definitely spooked after that.
Wait, but it was broken so bad that they didn't think you were going to walk again?
Yeah, my dad, I remember him coming into the hospital room the night, and he said, look, I just want you to know, you know, you're going to need to, it was like, you know, old-fashioned dad talk, you're going to need to be a man, and You know, and I could tell he was super freaked out.
Oh, and
he said, you know, you might not be able to walk again and it'll be okay. And yeah.
Well, not only are you walking, Tony Goldwyn, you're flying.
You're flying. Yes.
All right.
Let's play a quick game, Tony. It's called Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame. You're mm-hmm. each going to get three questions and you get them right. Or yeah, I might give you possible points for creativity. Sean, you're up first.
Okay.
Okay. Question one. Pruritus is the medical term for what ailment? Pruritus. I can spell it for you.
Yeah.
P-R-U-R-I-T-U-S. Pruritus.
Pruritus.
P-R-U is spelled pruritus?
Pruritus.
Pruritus.
What is that? You're just asking me what that means?
Yeah. Is the medical term for what?
Yeah. It is the medical term for, I'm thinking of psoriasis, but pruritus is the...
Well, pruritus can be found in psoriasis.
So sometimes. It's like scaly skin. It's dry skin. I don't know.
Close.
What is it?
Yeah. So
wow. It's,
what do you do with that dry scaly skin?
You moisturize it.
It's peeling?
Okay,
what?
Okay. Itching. Pruritus is the medical term for itching.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So if you have a pruritus... Okay, got it.
So a pruritic rash is a rash that itches. It's an itchy rash. Pruritic rash.
Oh, okay.
If you're married for too long, you have a 7-year pruritus.
That's good, right.
Thank you.
Okay, second question. This question is for Sean. Sean, are you
yes.
ready? Which of Newton's laws state that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction?
Inertia.
Is it the first, second, isn't third it, law?
Oh,
which law?
Oh, I don't know. It's the first law.
Isn't it the first one, isn't it?
I thought inertia was...
It's the third,
It's
actually.
The third one.
Yeah.
But inertia is pretty impressive that I got that word, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. So just to be clear, the first law is the law of inertia, actually. So,
okay.
Yeah, so the second law is that acceleration of an object is dependent upon the net force acting upon the object and the mass of the object. And then the third law is for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Do you know how fast I would have flunked out of medical school? I would not have made it through the first month. Okay.
Third question for Sean. You guest starred as Nick Murdoch in the first season of the TV show Scrubs.
Oh my gosh.
Your character tells a story about being in a restaurant and someone else needing medical care. What did your character do?
Oh, come on. You want to know something? I filmed that episode on 9/11.
What?
So I was a little preoccupied.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
For sure.
Everybody knows where they were on 9/11. I was on the set of Scrubs filming that scene.
Oh, that's wild.
But what is it? What's the question?
Yeah. So Nick Murdoch, your character, tells a story about being in a restaurant and someone else needing medical care.
Oh.
What did your character do?
The Heimlich. Was it the Heimlich?
That is incorrect. The character actually forgot he was a doctor and did nothing, which is really meta because...
That's me.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Okay, Tony, now the next three questions are for you. Are you ready, Tony?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I thought those questions were for me, so, you know, I was listening. Okay. Thank God they weren't for me because they were really hard.
Oh, man, this question. Okay, you already said it earlier in the podcast, but name one way anthrax is spread to humans.
Oh.
Well, there's cutaneous anthrax, so that's one way. Another way is a respiratory, you know, through your respiratory
Brilliant.
System. Inhalation yes. anthrax, I think
Very
it's called,
good.
Right?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, that is correct. There's two other ways.
There's also, there's inhalation, there's cutaneous ingestion.
Very
like
good.
You can,
GI
if you
tract.
Eat it,
yes.
GI tract.
Yeah.
What would be the other one? I don't know what the other one.
And the fourth one is actually, you can directly inject it. It's you can see that in people that inject contaminated heroin.
Yeah.
But anyway. Okay, you killed that question. Very good. Second question. Related by name to a movie you were in, what is it called when someone stops responding to a person's calls, texts, emails, or social media posts?
Right, a highly technical medical term, ghosting.
Yes, that is correct. Okay, third question. You played Richard Nixon's brother, Harold, in the movie Nixon.
Brilliant, by the way.
What bacterial infection did Harold die of, and which organ does this bacteria typically infect?
Harold died of tuberculosis.
Very good.
Which was in his lungs.
There, that is correct. Okay, you slayed.
Those were much easier than Sean's, I have to say.
But clearly, when I have a part that I'm playing, I just look at the lines. I don't look at like the name of the role.
I love that you don't remember any of your lines.
I don't remember
any of it. Okay, let's just do a bonus sort of quasi tiebreaker. This is for both of you now, okay? So first person to answer correctly or close enough wins, okay? You were both in the Broadway musical Promises, Promises. What 1960 movie is the musical based on?
Oh,
The Apartment.
The Apartment. The Apartment. Yeah, that's correct. Tony, you destroyed this. You are in Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. What do I get?
You get pride.
A plaque.
You get to walk away with pride.
I'll check your mole for free.
You know, in The Apartment and in Promises, Promises, in our show, it was played by the brilliant Kristen Chenoweth, Miss Kubelik, which I think backwards is cubicle. Isn't that interesting?
Right. I never thought of that. Right.
Because they all worked in cubicles. Anyway, Tony Goldwyn, what a pleasure. You're one of my favorite people in the whole world.
Thanks, Sean. So
kind and loving and patient and wonderful and talented. So thank you for being here.
Well, it was super fun being here. Thanks for asking me. It was great to meet you, Priyanka, and give Scotty my love.
I will
thank
for sure.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I will.
Okay.
Bye,
okay.
honey.
Ciao.
Bye, guys.
Sean, wasn't that great?
Yes.
What a smart cookie.
Isn't he smart? I love him. He's one of the nicest people.
He knows
people.
So much. He knows a lot about anthrax. I was really impressed by his anthrax facts.
Just from working with him, he's also, incredibly thoughtful and likes to learn.
Yeah.
He's super, super curious about everything all the time.
Absolutely.
And I think that's why he's so smart.
And it was harrowing to listen to what he went through
with know,
his daughter.
I know. That's
oh my
so
gosh.
Awful. I can't imagine.
Yeah. I have an 18-month-old nephew, and the idea of... I can't even imagine going through that. I just can't.
Just being helpless for any infant that can't speak for themselves or any animal that can't speak for themselves.
Yeah. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you to our listeners and the wonderful calls today.
Yes, fantastic. Thanks, you guys. Keep listening. And don't worry, be healthy. Bye.
Bye.
Hypochondriac Actor is a Hazy Mills production hosted by me, Sean Hayes, and Dr. Priyanka Wally. Rebecca Eisenberg and Todd Milliner are our executive producers. Production and editing is by Rabbit Grin Productions. Original music by Scott Eisenogle and Lior Rosner. This is a Hazy Mills production. All content discussed on Hypochondriac Actor are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Please consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.